the Missouri State Journal, a weekly program keeping you in touch with Missouri State University.
Art can be described by endless adjectives: beautiful, poignant, unique, surprising, grotesque. According to Dr. Mitzi Kirkland Ives, Associate Professor of Art and Design at Missouri State University, pre-modern European art was rarely produced with the primary intention of being beautiful. Recently, she co-edited a book called Death, Torture, and the Broken Body in European Art from 1300 to 1650 that explores the function of torture in art of the early modern and late medieval period. One example of this period can be found in the film Monuments Men.
One of the main objects of interest in that is the Ghent altarpiece by Jan van Eyck and possibly his brother. Mm-hmm. And it's this very, very large altarpiece that was split into a number of different panels and hidden. And so that's something that people might be familiar with.
For her book, she focused on these images of torture and death, primarily from the area of Europe that is now known as Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg.
Well, there's a whole range of imagery. Some of it is very religiously oriented. So images related to the Passion of Christ, for example, were very, very popular. The Passion of the various saints and martyrdoms. Also, images that are a little bit less predictably religious, but fall into the same period mindset. Images of corrupt judges being tortured and killed, or criminals of various sorts being tortured and killed, which have a very different context, very different function in some ways.
In our culture, we're not very used to talking about death and torture, she noted. But during this time, it was prevalent in artwork. She gives examples from her book.
The head of St. John the Baptist decapitated on a plate. This was very, very popular, just these images of that as the sole content. Imagery that has to do with the impaling of Christians by the Turks, you know, very largely invented, but very powerful on the Christian imagination in Europe at that moment. Or images of the massacre of the innocents, this very biblical moment in which you essentially have a lot of babies being chopped into pieces. And this imagery was also very popular. And it's again, very, very counterintuitive to us. It's not the sort of thing that we expect to find in works of art, especially Italian Renaissance art, which we understand to be so beautiful and so ordered and so rational.
During this time, the organized church was struggling and perpetuated the concept of self-piety or controlling your own salvation. This led to many devotionals and prayers that made devotees really consider the suffering of Christ and the saints.
So we see the development of a number of prayer cycles and traditions along those lines, like the Stations of the Cross, like the prayers to the Rosary, which really organize a prolonged meditation on these individual episodes, these individual moments of torture and pain and suffering of Christ and the saints, in a way that the devotee was meant to imagine it in as much gruesome detail as possible to up the sense of compassion for them. And through this activity, they, in a way, improved themselves. They understood Christ to have become perfected through this process of suffering. They could emulate that. And if we think about the slippage of terms, passion, it's in the medieval context, it's a little bit more gruesome because it really means suffering. The Passion of the Christ is suffering. We still have the word compassion to suffer with someone, but otherwise the word's meaning has slipped a bit.
She doesn't focus solely on religious pieces, and she's found some works serve didactic purposes.
The image that we chose for the cover of our book, which is a detail from The Judgment of Cambyses by Gerard David, a painter around Bruges in Belgium, it shows a corrupt judge who has been found out, and it's this very, very gnarly, gruesome scene of him being flayed alive. And in the following panel, his nephew, I believe, this is a story from Herodotus, his nephew is appointed as the replacement judge, and he's sort of put into this judge throne, which is upholstered with his uncle's skin. Images of good and bad behavior and their outcomes could have a chilling effect.
In those days, she noted that these images were powerful because they were not beautiful.
Well, in our time period, it does feel a bit counterintuitive to look at these artworks that are so horrifying and so violent and so gruesome and hideous. But before the 18th century, the 19th century, art had many, many different functions other than just to be beautiful. If it was beautiful, that's fine. But in addition to that, it could serve all these other functions as didactic, as, oh, a warning to people about good and bad behavior again, or to record events that didn't necessarily have anything to do with beauty at all.
That was Dr. Mitzi Kirkland Ives, Associate Professor of Art and Design at Missouri State University. I'm Nikki Donaldson for the Missouri State Journal.
For more information, contact the Office of University Communications at 417-836-6397.